from you we can do nothing, so we depend on you.
First, I want to thank everybody for your emails and your letters. Wow, we loved it, loved it, loved it. I don't know when I respond if you get those or not. Sometimes I just respond and I hear nothing after, so I don't know if people got them or not, if there's still communication open. But I did hear from several countries, and for you, I thank you. We're all reading those now, finding out what's going on. And tonight I want to continue in 1 Corinthians 3. There's a lot of things we cannot control, but there are some things we are to control, and that's to guard our heart, control what comes out of our mouth. And there's so much division. I wanted to take a globe and just cut it in half and say half are on this side and half are on that side. And that's why I had such an urgency in the last few years to get out some of the messages that I have preached, because of what's here, especially in other countries. And America thinks it's safe, but this is a world order. So keep your eyes on some of the other countries and see what's going on. If you can, if you have friends, I like people on the ground to tell me, because sometimes the news is not accurate. It tells you one thing or another. But when you have friends in different places, they tell you the facts of what's really going on in their countries. And for that, I thank you all. It's been a great week for mail. Mail makes me happy. And just share your stories and what you're going through. Sometimes you just need to write it out on paper and send it and just say, this is what's going on, and it kind of helps you get it out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start off, and I, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. In verse 3, for you are yet carnal. For as there is among you envying and strife and divisions. How can you tell if somebody is a spiritual baby and they're carnal? Because they walk in strife. To be a mature Christian, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to walk in the Spirit and walk in love. And as much as within you, live at peace with all people. Some people you can't live at peace with because they're not at peace with themselves. So you try to walk in peace with them and keep the unity and keep the spirit of faith, but they're babies. For you are yet carnal. Now, it doesn't mean that they're a goat, but they might have goat tendencies. We're going to talk about sheep and goats. We're going to talk about some goats because I believe there is a separation going on. And God said he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and you have to judge yourself and say, which one am I? Because we can all go through some moments when we act goat-like. But you're carnal. And when people attack you, you might want to get on the defensive, and you might want to, well, now it's time to judge yourself. We got to get back in the spirit. Don't let people that are attacking you waste any more of your energy. And the division in families and churches is a real thing. I mean, the division is everywhere. Which side are you going to pick? Fix this side or that side? And then this one victimizes and villainizes the other one, and on we go. So what are we supposed to do as Christians? Hang on to the ones we love. Even if they differ with us in opinions, remember, we don't know how much time we have here. Things are happening fast. And the main thing to me, the most important thing to me, is my relationships. And I fight for my relationships. I don't give them up easily. But if they want to be a goat and let go of you, you got to let them go. And then you got to move on from there. But you are carnal. For as there is among you envying and strife and divisions. This is a sign that you're carnal and you're walking as mere men. And then he goes on the other things that makes them carnal, following just a man. In verse 18, let no man deceive himself. We can also let people deceive us, but we can also deceive ourselves. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And then verse 21, read the whole chapter. I don't like to just take verses out, but for time. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Whereas, you're going to follow this preacher, that preacher. It's the day we got to shake all that down. And you got to know the Bible for yourself. Because there's a lot of truth-telling people in communities, but they're also controlled opposition. Right. And so you need to understand what controlled up. They own both sides, so they play both sides. And they play both sides of the war. They play both sides of different things. So when you find that out, you know, wow, it really is a narrow path. But Jesus is the one we're supposed to be following anyway. So you'll be tested. But here's a thought. Stop sitting at the table where they speak evil about others. Because when you get up, you're the topic. You can tell. One night I was sitting on my couch listening to somebody murmur and complain about everybody. And wouldn't you know, yeah, a year later, I was a target. But the person that's like that, you got to know them when you get around them. Because if they're talking evil and gossiping badly about other people, that's their problem. And so I want this message to kind of help us spot. Help us spot. We can't control what people do. But you have to learn to help, because I'm very mercy motivated, and that my mercy's got me in trouble. So I usually hang on longer than I should. Yeah, narc magnet. I'm tired of being a narc magnet. I'm really tired of it. Some of you can relate that. But you can spot gossipers and busybodies, and the Bible tells us what to watch out for. So, starting off, there's different kinds of bones. Okay, like wishbones, knuckle bones, backbones, and jaw bones. The wishbones wish someone else would do the work. The knuckle bones, they knock what everybody else does. The backbone are those that actually do the work. And the jawbone is the person who seems to let the cat out of the bag all the time. Oops. They spread rumors and leak secrets. 1 Timothy 5:13. Gossipers and busybodies, what do? They separate chief friends. Wow. They exaggerate and injure others. They leak secrets with half-truths. And if you can be deceived by gossip, then you really weren't a friend anyway.
That's right.
Being a minister for all these years, I've had mothers and daughters pit each other against each other, and I had to walk the narrow line of not, you know, taking sides and all this. And I've just learned to let everybody's got an opinion and everyone wants to be divided against someone else. But if you want to make friends, well, you can't take sides because they all want you to be your friend and take their side. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So here we got to see that there's gossipers and busybodies in the church. We're talking about in the church now, but we also have them in families. We have them everywhere. We have them in our workplace because people are people. And that's why Jesus didn't put his trust in men. He knew what was in them. And in John 6:66, he'd always say, "You want to leave too?" He was so secure in the Father that he didn't try to win people over. And when you're a gossiper, that's what you're doing. You're manipulating people to see your side. The truth can speak for itself. We don't have to manipulate people. So a jawbone is a walking busybody who ruins reputations behind their backs. And this is the key, behind their backs. Because if the person was present, the conversation would change.
True.
But gossipers always gossip behind the backs of people and try to cause schisms and divisions. It's happened since the beginning of man. This is not new. But we're seeing more of it now. We're seeing it now in families. We're seeing it everywhere. The division is so intense right now. Betrayal, brothers against brothers, mothers against mothers, mothers and mothers-in-laws, what the scripture says. But a gossip goes around spreading rumors, where a trustworthy man tries to quiet them, tries to bring unity and peace. Let's not talk about that. Let's try to. But not everybody is a peacemaker. Not everybody wants unity. And if you're giving place to a spirit of strife and division, you want division, and you want people to take your side. So which one are you? You have to guard your own heart and just say, am I a divider? Am I one that likes to stir up things? Am I like people that like to manipulate their how they feel about different people? If you do, and if we are, we need to judge ourselves. Because the Bible says, judge yourself that you be not judged. Okay, Proverbs 11:9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Now in Matthew 25, we can turn there. This is great about the separation between the sheep and the goats. Let's look at verse 31. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Think about that day. Now we're seeing a lot of the satanic plans and agendas are coming to pass. We're starting to see the agendas now. What is an agenda? It's a plan. And they're following a plan, and it's a one world order, a one world religion, which we've been telling you about. But there's coming a day that we're gonna see him face to face. And he's gonna have his angels with him. Think about that. Get your eyes on heavenly things sometimes when you read the news or you look at the news. It's so depressing, isn't it? But he's going to come with his angels. Then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall he gather all the nations. Now remember, in Revelations it talks about all nations being deceived, right? By the pharmakeia,
right.
By the sorceries. Well, here he's gathering all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. We're going to talk about sheep and goats tonight. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And the right hand, the sheep, they go to eternal life. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for, this world is not our home.
Amen.
We're passing through. Don't forget that. But the goats, they're going to eternal damnation. And we don't even want to have goat traits. So when we find them in ourselves, we have to step back,
Judge
ourselves, say, yes, I've hurt, yet they've hurt me, but you know what? It's time to move on, judge myself. I'm just done with that. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now listen to this. For when I was an hungered and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we an hungered and fed with thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When did we do all this stuff? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. And this is the thing. We are born again in the kingdom of God. And even though people are acting demonic and all this and that, we still have to choose to take the high road as much as we can, right? We're just coming into the end times. We're just coming into the beginning of sorrows.
Right.
So we have to guard our heart. We have to prepare ourselves to walk in love, regardless if no one else does. If they reject you, if they betray you, if they do a Judas goat, we're going to talk about a Judas goat. Jesus was betrayed, right? So these things should not surprise us, but it is surprising when it's people you never thought would do this. This is why it's so shocking. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I wasn't hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you didn't even visit me. You visited me not. Then shall they say and answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And that's why if you're discouraged by doing good, don't be discouraged, because people won't reward you. Sometimes you give money to someone, they don't act thankful, or you feed somebody and you took a lot of time and love. You're going to be rewarded from the Lord. Maybe not in this life, but he is collecting all the things that we do for him. I think that's really exciting. But it only takes one weak link in the chain of your group to bring in division. Are you going to bring in division? You have the power to choose if you're going to be carnal, walk in strife and division, or if you're going to suppress the strife and division. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes it will explode. But as far as your heart's concerned, you do as much as required of that you can handle. Do you know what I'm saying? In these situations that we're facing and will face, at work, in fellowships, in families. Because if one organ in your body gets unhealthy and shuts down, the other organs are affected. We are to preach the word, and we are to protect his body, the true church, from attacks within and without. We're not to be giving place to the devil with strife and division and dividing people up. Now, there's many pastors that are doing this. There's a lot of pastors that have sold out their congregations, and I've warned you that this was coming. It's on a huger scale than I thought, but it's definitely, we're seeing. And if you have to leave these places, go nice, don't leave, and attack as you leave. People that attack on the way out shows what's in them. That shows and reveals the spirit of a person. We see people's love growing cold. We see divisions and separations, brother betraying brother. This is all by design. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer the countries, the nations, the world. To divide people over differences, colors, genders, now health issues, so-called, they are much easier to control or overcome. If you divide people into groups, see them as the enemy and not the real enemy. Keep your eyes on each other rather than what the real enemy is doing. What a trick of the enemy. But when you're filled with oil, you see right through it. You see right through the plans. You're not deceived. Divide and conquer, it's a military, economic, and mathematical term. A method to gain or keep power from another person, another country, another group, whatever it is. Divide and conquer. Divide people over differences, and they are much easier to control or overcome. Destabilize a country. Destabilize a nation. The devil uses divide and conquer in families, churches, and countries all around the world, and he always have. And now today we have the end time divisions. What are you going to do in these end times division? If people want to fight and quarrel, I know people that have differences of opinion than me, and I try not to go on those subjects. If they're family and they have a different opinion, they have a different view, it's their free right to have a different view. But I don't want to waste the energy trying to change their mind when I know they're already set in their mind. So what do? You try to agree on what you can agree on. And don't try to change their mind, because at this point, many people have already set their minds and they decided what they're going to do or not going to do. So up to us, we got to walk in love and remain what we have left to in our families. The devil wants us divided. I know people that are not talking to each other, won't have anything to do with each other, blah, 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 because they're playing the right and the left paradigm in the politic world. That's all by design to get people divided too. He's been using this divide and conquer in family and churches forever. And now we're seeing the end times divisions. And the Bible says, how good for brethren to dwell together in unity. For every person who desires fellowship and unity, there is another person trying to engage in gossip, spread rumors, and cause arguments and division. Which one are you? There's another person trying to engage in gossip, spread rumors, cause arguments and division, or walk in unity as much as is possible within you. Which one are you? Well, the Bible tells us not to get into arguments over philosophies. And now we're having so many philosophies going around. So much deception. And in Romans 16:17, different translations say different things, but watch out for those who cause divisions. Watch out. There are people that are divisive. You either agree with them or they want to have nothing to do with you. And they put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. False teaching. We're not going into that tonight, but keep away from them. Keep away from them. Love them from afar. But if they're causing division and they're divisive people, what does it say? Mark them. Mark those that cause division. It doesn't say embrace them. Mark them. For people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. Either they're a goat, they're either a goat or they're carnal. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of the simple, of the naive people. And this is what we're seeing now. People, they get into groups by flattery. Division, strife and conflict. What is it? What does it mean to be in division? It's a lack of agreement. It's a lack of harmony. I used to be in the music ministry for years, and there's certain notes that they'd play and we'd all harmonize. And then I'd have them get on the piano and I'd say, just give us one that just doesn't harmonize. And that's what it's like. You get that on the piano. You know what I mean, right? It doesn't flow. It doesn't harmonize. It's divisive. It's It's the way it is with people. They get in a group and it's all of a sudden they it's just that spirit. They're never happy. They're always complaining. They have that jawbone, just a jaw in a way. So what does strife and division do? It produces quarreling. People start fighting. Strife emphasizes a struggle for superiority. Some people want to be the leader of the group. And they want that superiority. They want to be the most brilliant or the smartest or the ones that have... You know what? Looking back, you kind of see that person's got problem with everything they do. At work, they have to be superior. At families, everything. It's like, why does everything revolve around them? Well, I call it the narcissist. Lovers of self. Some want to be superior or the powerful person. They want to be looked up at. And they're really the insecure people. Because when you can't let somebody else lead, you're really insecure. Goats don't like to follow. Now, here in Matthew 25, we read, before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep, the sheep from the goats. Let's talk a little bit about goats. One of the marks of a goat is that it will eat almost anything. Goats love trash. And spiritually, it's the same thing. Their diet and their behavior totally singles them out. They eat anything. They listen to gossip. They divide. They quarrel. Goats love trash and thinks it's delicious. They love those tiny morsels of juicy gossip. The goats feed on what is popular and exciting. You got to entertain the goats. You got to have a better program in town than any other church because goats like to be entertained. They love gossip and they spread trash. It's a mark of a goat. The biggest mark of a goat is they bring division. Remember, Satan is the author of division. And they start yielding over to the wrong spirit. Goats are arrogant. They love to exalt themselves. In Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, describes Satan as their father, the great divider. He divided heaven. Think about that. He's in heaven. It can't get any better. And he attacks God, and he takes a third of the angels away, and he brings division. Just think. I mean, he still thinks he's going to be the winner. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I always think about when they put these new space programs in, these new satellites up there, this new AI stuff. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. It's what his goal is. It's what the devil's goal has always been. He wants to be like God. But he perverts everything. Everything God made, he uses it and perverts it. And is it any surprise that in satanic ceremonies, they use the image of a goat? The goat is the greatest of all time. They call them the goats. Isn't that funny? They don't call them sheep. They call them goats. And they use the image of a goat to identify themselves. Yeah. Goats like to be in high positions over others, to dominate and control others. Sheep are humble. Now, goats don't have a spirit of humility. They have a spirit of pride, like their father, the devil. Jesus told them, you are like your father, the devil. And he was talking to what? Religious leaders. We still have them amongst us today. In Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. And when you get mad and you see a lot of this injustice happening, you have to let it go into God's hands. Vengeance belongs to him. Guess what? He knows how to take care of the wicked. And he will. Unfortunately, it's not fast enough for us. But he will take care of the wicked. Another thing and a trait of a goat, he's very aggressive. It's another mark. They're angry and offended. They get very defensive and they're very destructive. Goats are aggressive. Sheep are supposed to what? Hebrews 12:4, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Goats go head to head with anyone who crosses them. They butt heads. That's a goat. They don't like to follow. They don't like to flow. They like to lead and cause division. Doing okay? A little bit more? Goats have different behaviors. They're rebellious. They're stubborn. They're selfish. They're self-centered. And they're self-seeking. But remember their destiny. We don't want to be a goat. We want to be like a sheep that we're given eternal life. Goats are cast into the lake of fire. Goats, some of their traits, they're always poking their heads through fences. They may be standing on their hind legs, stretching for leaves just out of reach. Why? Goats are never content with what they have. And I look at some of these people that are governing and ruling and doing these things. I said, when is enough money enough? Yeah. I mean, when, follow the money. When they aren't, they'll never be satisfied because they're goats. Goats are never content. It's better to have little and be content in your life without division. Right. It's better to be content, the Bible says. But these people, they're never content with what they have. They always do their own thing. They're rebellious, and they're not good followers. That's why they don't follow the shepherd. Do as thou wilt, is their saying. They prefer leading and going off on their own. Goats will never stay with you too long because they have to go out and do their own thing, and they're never content. In meat packers, they train an old goat. They call him the Judas goat. And Judas, we know, is the one that betrayed Jesus. But the Judas goat is led the sheep to pens for slaughter. They're slaughter houses. And they mix among the sheep and they lead them to the wrong path. The infiltration of the churches for the last 50 years or more, we've seen Judas goats. We've seen false preachers. We've seen false movements leading sheep to the slaughter, to deception. A well-trained Judas goat will lead group after group of sheep to the slaughter all day long. They have no conscience. They don't care. They just take your money. They just keep leading the sheep to the slaughter. False promises. Goats cause disunity and want to take over. They cause trouble. Wherever they go, goats always eventually will cause trouble. They will eventually expose who they are. As they do not want to be led, they like to lead. They don't like following. They have to always be the leader. They look like sheep, but they have horns for hurting others, usually with gossip. And I was going to do a whole lot on gossip, but I'm not going to go too much into that. But what does it mean to gossip? It means injury. You injure someone. You're telling things you shouldn't tell. Busybodies is to have a long nose in other people's business. Sometimes you just have to say, you know what? Too much information? I really don't care. Yeah. I don't need to know that. Talking about the private affairs of others and ruin reputations, and it's always behind someone's back. Wow. That's a gossiper. A walking busybody spreads rumors and leaks secrets. First of all, the person being discussed is never there. The discussion would change if the other person were present. Our mouths can divide people. The power of life and death is really not to create things like we've been taught. You can just speak the same thing God says and have it. How's that working for you? We blow that away. Some preachers don't even get me going. Didn't go too far, I guess. But our mouths can cause division. We can set verbal fires. There's been so many times that someone will tell me their secret and this one will tell me. I thought, I could just destroy that person by telling this person what this other person just said about them. Because I've been in a position of trying to lead people and I don't use it against them. I try to keep them united as long as I can. But people are just amazingly want you to not like anyone as well as you like them. So they divide. They set verbal fires. They injure reputations and they spread things that probably are not even true because exaggeration just makes it a little more juicy. So where I go? So why do we do it? Why do we gossip? We've all gossiped. We've all done it. So we're judging ourselves tonight. We want to go forward, walk in friendships that are united, family members that are disagreeing with us, but we try to stay as far as is possible with us to unite. Why do people do it? Why do people give place to the spirit of the division? Because it's all about control. Talk is control. This need to control is the essence of sin. Flesh. We use it to control other people's perceptions, and we put our own spin on what we want others to feel, see, and know. We have low self-esteem. We feel bad about ourselves, and we see others as a threat and focus on their weaknesses. And I remember this one lady, she was not real pretty, but another lady was really pretty. She comes in, she goes, well, she has nice nails. I can tell she doesn't do any work. Just those little digs, because you're jealous. So you see someone else as a threat, and you focus on their weaknesses. We strive to elevate ourselves above them. What is that? Pride. Yeah. We've never potty trained our mouths. We've never disciplined it. We've never controlled. That should be taught in school. Some of the things we learned were not really worth living, you know, going through. But how do you talk about others? How do you talk to your mom and dad? How do you, none of that stuff. Stuff that you really needed in life, you didn't learn. Even how to balance a checkbook. None of those things were taught. So we never potty trained our mouth to say, you're not going to say that. You might think that, but that doesn't mean just because you think it, you should say it. Because if I say this, how will it affect, usually it's your close family. How will this affect my husband? How will this affect my wife? How will this affect my friend? Well, I just blurted out what I wanted to say, and then you make them deal with the poison. You've never disciplined yourself. You don't have to let everything out that comes to your mind. None of us do. Would the person I'm talking about be offended by what I'm saying if they knew I was saying it? When we're preoccupied with other people's dirt, we love to be preoccupied with other people's dirt. We don't have time to clean up our own. If I can focus on what a mess your life is, then I feel better about mine. That's why people gossip. That's why they all like soap operas. Not funny, they call them soap operas because they want to see if this guy's going to have an affair with his wife. He's miserable, so what does he do? Those slop operas, I used to call them, a lot of people were hooked on these from episode to episode because their lives were miserable and they wanted to see what Dallas was doing back in the day, remember? Oh, my goodness. So people get preoccupied with movie stars and magazines, and they want to see, I mean, I think that's kind of fading out. I don't know, but we don't really want to be like those movie stars anymore. We see how messed up they are, but you're preoccupied with other people's dirt, and we don't have time to clean up our own lives because we're so focused, you know, and that's why the Bible talks about busybodies. You're sticking your nose over the fence of everybody else's life, and then you don't have time to judge yourself. So I just wanted to bring this message to us that we strive to remember our own weaknesses and our own failures before we comment on others. And every time I've preached on this in 40-some years, it's always a little different, but it's the quietest fellowship afterwards. Nobody talks. But that's not the reason. The point is that we're facing division as we've never faced it before. Different opinions. As you know, the news, what's going on in different countries and what's coming even in ours and what's coming this fall, what's coming this winter, and different things that are happening. The relocation of people is happening, where there's floods in the United States, where there's fires, all these different things. And the Bible says that they're going to increase. So with the time we have left, do we really want to fight? Do we really want to argue with the people that we love? So we have to make a decision. When you get around people that disagree with the way you believe on anything, choose not to get into a divisive spirit. And it's hard to sit and listen to people when you know they're deceived. They haven't done any research. It's really hard because you really do want to give them a Holy Ghost slap and say, wake up. But they don't want to wake up. They feel good. about not knowing what's coming, and they feel good about not knowing what the evil plans of the enemy is. But the Bible says that we still have to be watched. We got to watch and warn. But the thing we want to do tonight is to judge our own hearts. So let's pray. Father, we want to be a sheep following our shepherd. And in these days, how important it is that we hear your voice. And the voice of a stranger we will not follow. And even though we have knives in our back and people have betrayed us and we see the Judas goats all around us, workplaces, wherever we are, Father, we just give it to you. We give these hurts, pains, betrayals, loss of friendships to you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, we judge ourselves that we would not be judged. We judge ourselves. We ask you to help us, Lord, with our mouth and with even our thoughts. As our thoughts go dark and our thoughts dwell on negative things and all the different things that we're going through. You said, count it all joy, my brother, when you face these tests and trials. And we are. We're in fires. We're in testing fires to see where our loyalties will be, who our friends will be, who our pastors will be, who our leaders will be. We're seeing them deceived, falling to the right and the left. But as we make you Lord and Savior and our shepherd, many shall fall to the right, many shall fall to the left. But in these end times, Lord, we trust you. We thank you for giving us faith to walk these dark hours. Thank you, Lord, for giving us friendships that are divine. We thank you, Father, for helping us, hardening us to difficulties in this day and hour. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us not be like the Laodicean church that was so lukewarm that you spit them out of your mouth. But help us, Father. We thank you for filling us with oil. As we listen to these words and we read our Bibles, we thank you for filling us with oil, that we will not let our oil run out. That you'll help us, you'll keep us, and you'll guide us in these hard times. And we promise to give you alone all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
if you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
Jesus, I love you. Apart from you, we can do nothing, so we depend.